If you will, please bow with me in a word of prayer before we begin our lesson tonight. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you once more for the blessings of giving us, Father, the opportunity to come together as thy saints, to assemble at thy house, Father, and as thy temple, to bring forth to thee, Lord, these spiritual sacrifices that, Father, we know bring pleasure to thy heart. Father, it is our hope and our faith that every act of worship that we have done so in a manner that is bringing, Father, a sweet-smelling aroma in thy presence. That, Father, we've done so with the mindset of understanding, Lord, the truth that you have given us in obedience to thy holy word, but also in a spirit of joy and in a spirit of reverence, Father, knowing upon whose throne, Father, we approach. Lord, as we begin our lesson tonight, be with this thy servant. Allow me, Father, to represent thee as thy oracle, that I, Father, may be able to share what I have been able to glean from thy holy word, and that I, Father, may be able, Lord, to give justice to thy holy word, not only through my lessons that we're going to be learning together, but more, Father, through my own life, through my conduct, by showing, Father, to the world that light that brings honor and glory to thy name. Forgive us, Father, when we have failed thy commandments. Forgive us, Father, when we have fallen into temptation. Please grant us the strength and the humility, Lord, to acknowledge when we have stumbled, so that we may rise, Father, and continue to walk this walk of faith. Father, be with our friends. Allow them to listen diligently, and that they may, Father, be fair-minded in searching thy scriptures to see if indeed it has been rightly divided tonight. We pray this in our holy and glorious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is a priest? When we think about this word, it is very possible that we immediately begin to associate it with the sacrifices that were being offered by the Levites in the Old Testament. Many times when we think about a priest in our modern culture, if you do not know your Old Testament very well, or if you're not someone who perhaps studies the Bible diligently, in modern times you probably think of the priest in terms of the denominationalism. You think of it of a man dressed in black with a little white collar on his neckline. Perhaps you think about someone who is dressed up very fancy and very elegant, and they are doing traditional and ritual ceremonies. What is indeed a priest? See, brethren, when we study the Bible, it is interesting and it is fascinating that priests were always present in society. For example, before Noah's time, we see that Adam had taught his sons, Cain and Abel, how to offer burnt offerings before God. This was indeed one of the responsibilities of a priest. We read about Job in Job chapter 1, how he offered burnt offerings on behalf of his family in case one of his children had transgressed against God. And then Noah, after the flood, after that first generation, those first few generations that God had eradicated because they had gone wrong, they had become evil, we see that Noah once more steps into the role of a priesthood. And then, of course, Abraham and Melchizedek. Indeed, brethren, when we talk about this, it is curious to see that throughout all of human history, there has always been a priesthood that's been present. If you think about it from the terms of biblical language, throughout every dispensation, there has always been a man who has been designated by God himself to stand between him and his fellow men. Thus, for this reason, it is important that you and I understand, brethren, that today, we as the church, we are the kingdom of priests. It is important for us to understand that we, brethren, have Jesus Christ as our high priest. But again, when we think about the term priest, many times we associate the high priest's roles and responsibilities as that pertaining to us as well. But the truth is that as we study types and antitypes, you see, Jesus was being foreshadowed by Aaron and his high priesthood. Melchizedek was foreshadowing how Jesus would be both king and priest, according to both Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 7. But you and I, brethren, we are foreshadowed by the common priest. And you see, we didn't have the same duties that Christ had. For example, we didn't have the duty to go into the Most Holy once a year on the Day of Atonement. We don't have the responsibility that Jesus had to offer a sacrifice once and for all that can eradicate all of the sins of the world. And yet, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, tells us that we are indeed a royal priesthood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible tells us not only that we are a priesthood, but we are told that we are expected to offer spiritual sacrifices to our God. Therefore, the question once more comes in, what is a priest? When we think about this, brethren, and when we look up the study of words and when we delve into it, perhaps the closest definition of what a priest is one who intercedes to God for another. But again, we're not only going to focus on the offerings that are being given on behalf of someone else's transgressions. But tonight, what I want you and I is for us to see more in other realms of what the other duties of the priest were. Because the Levitical priesthood, which we have as an example, and according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 and forward, it is a shadow of better things to come. We are the better thing that has come. But we can still learn from them and understand through their duties how today we serve in the temple of God, how today we have a duty to work on behalf of our God, that this title of priest is not just an exaltation, it is not just a title of honor and prestige, but indeed it is our job description. It is our duty and responsibility. As the Apostle Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it is by God's grace that we have the honor to serve in his temple as priests in the order or according to the order of Melchizedek. Turn with me first and foremost to Leviticus chapter 6. We're going to see three brief points today and three areas in which the priests under the Levitical priesthood served God and how we can tie that in with our duties as Christians tonight, or always rather. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 9 through 13. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. The Bible reads, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in an order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Brethren, if you have gone camping before, and if you like to put a campfire and you want to enjoy it for a long time, you know that you have to keep that fire burning by always stirring the wood as it's starting to burn down. You see, during the times of the Levites here in this dispensation of the world, there were no gas stoves. There were none of those fake fireplaces that you can still turn on that make it seem like the real thing, but has gas that keeps the fire burning. During those days, there needed to be a designation of priest who would be in charge of making sure that, as the commandment is given in verse 13, that the fire would never go out. See, when we read this, we should have in mind Nadab and Abihu, because this is when they offered strange fire before God. It was upon this altar that God had commanded them, where they decided to bring the wood or bring whatever it is that they were using that God had not approved of. But we're not going to look at that tonight. See, the duties, brethren, of the priest, as we see here in verses 8 through 13, or 9 through 13, was to make sure that the fire upon the altar was always burning, that it was kept alive. This required much self-discipline. This required much diligence. This required attention to detail. Imagine, if you will, if there was, if it was a cold night, or there was not enough oxygen that was beginning to burn down or keep down the fire, the threat of rain, or anyone perhaps that was walking and they had some kind of liquid that perhaps accidentally was trying to fall on it. They had to protect this fire. They had to make sure that the fire was always going. But we have to understand why this was necessary. What was the purpose of this altar? What purpose did it serve as it pertained to the children of Israel? Well, it was upon this altar where those offerings were made. It was upon this altar where this fire was burning, where the children of Israel could come and offer their trespass offering, where they could come and offer their sin offering, or their thanksgiving, or their peace offerings. Every type of offering that God had commanded, and every type of offering that the children of Israel would bring, they could always depend that it would be ready to be offered for the people. See, brethren, what we see is that that diligence, that self-discipline that the priests needed to have, it reveals to us that we too must always keep our fire burning. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Now, remember, we're not going to read at verse 1, but remember that in verse 1, the commandment, verse 1 and verse 2, is telling us about how we must present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That word, living sacrifice, is in reference to something that is ongoing. Like the fire that needed to keep burning, this sacrifice that you and I must make must be ongoing. But notice in verses 9 through 13 how it pertains to us today as in reference to our fellow brethren. Let love, says verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Pay attention to this, friends. Our duty today as the priests of the New Testament is that we must keep that fire within us burning. That our love for God, our love for God's people, and our love for our service to God must always be diligent and always zealous before Him. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, once more the Bible teaches us how our love must be without hypocrisy. But what Paul here describes or elaborates on, Peter uses one simple word. He says that our love must be fervent. Our love must be burning for one another. And our hospitality is also tied to it by the Apostle Peter. You see, brethren, we must be the logs to each other's fire. We must be the fire that keeps each other burning for the Lord. Like it was said of our high priest Jesus Christ in prophecy, the zeal of God's house must consume us. It must overtake us. And it is our duty to always keep the fire on that altar burning before God. When you go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25, does not the Bible teach us there that the purpose for not forsaking the assembly of the saints is so that we, you ready for it? May stir one another to love and good works. We just said that in order to keep a fire alive, you have to stir the wood within it. Brethren, our responsibility as the priests of the New Testament, as foreshadowed by the priests of the Levites, is to keep that fire in us burning, to keep that zeal with knowledge burning for God. But we have to keep each other with love that is not cold, but rather a fervent love that keeps us stirred and always presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice before God. You see, brethren, we should be each other's source of encouragement and not discouragement. We should be each other's source of responsibility and not irresponsibility. We should be the ones that always hold each other up when the world wants to turn off our fire within us. When the trials and tribulations of this world is trying to act like the cold breeze that is cooling down our fire, we should be the wood that turns that fire back on. Brethren, we should be an encouragement to each other. We should love one another in fervency. Because remember that the brighter and hotter the fire is, the stronger the brightness and the illumination it gives. We, brethren, must keep each other alive in this cold world. We have to keep our zeal for God burning in this very cold world. It is our duty as priests of the New Testament to keep the fire on God's altar always burning. But now turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 30. In the book of Exodus, chapter 30, you see, they didn't only have to keep the fire on the altar always burning, but read with me verses 7 through 10. Exodus, chapter 30, verses 7 through 10. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Brethren, as the priest of Levites, for the children of Israel, only the priests and only the bloodline of Aaron could burn sweet incense upon another altar. You see, brethren, those incense that we are reading about, they represent and they foreshadow something that today only Christians can do on behalf of the world. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. Chapter 5. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8. Notice the parallelism drawn between the book of Revelation and what we just read there in Exodus. Revelation, chapter 8, the Bible, chapter 5, the verse 8, the Bible reads, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." You see, brethren, the incense is according to Psalm 14, verse 1 and 2, that was used there during the time of the Levitical priesthood, had to be accompanied by the prayers of the people. That sweet-smelling aroma that we speak about, that sweet-smelling savor that comes before the presence of God, could only be sweet and smelling when it was done according to his will in obedience to his commandment. In fact, the book of Proverbs warns us that the prayers of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Pay attention to the fact that there in that proverb, through the negative sense, prayer once again is represented in the sense of something that is coming up before God that brings a certain type of aroma. An incense that was burned. In fact, when we read this, brethren, pay attention to the fact that the ears of God are open to the prayers of the righteous, says Psalm 37. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2, we as Christians, we as the church, we as the priests of the New Testament are given the commandment that we are to pray for all men. That we are to pray so that we may live in peace. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus made sure that his disciples, that is to say, we today, through the inspired word, that we understand the necessity of praying daily. In his parable that he begins, Luke, by inspiration, tells us that the purpose of the parable was to teach the importance of not stopping to pray. Well, the reason, brethren, why we as Christians must never stop praying, or as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us, we must pray without ceasing, is because it is our voice and it is our prayers that God heeds. It is a spiritual blessing that God has reserved only for his priests. Again, notice that in Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 through 10, God specifies that Aaron would burn the sweet incense. If someone from the tribe that was not Levi tried to burn incense, well, God would destroy them. But remember that those priests had to be sacred. They had to be consecrated. They had to wash before they could enter into the temple in order to officiate this duty. You see, brethren, God was not about to accept strange fire, and we've already mentioned Nadab and Abihu. God was not about to accept the incense, even if it was the right mixture, even if it was the sweet incense that God had commanded them, even if it was the right type. If it was the wrong person offering it, it would be rejected by God. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And therefore, this is why we must be careful, brethren. This is why we have to understand that the prayer of the faithful, the prayer of the righteous, is what God receives as a sweet-smelling aroma. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible tells us that the fervent prayer of the righteous can avail much. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we as husbands are warned that if we do not make our best to learn how to live with our wives in knowledge, our prayers can find an interruption. If we do not learn how to remain in peace at home and in unity, God may cut our phone bill because we are not paying what we should be paying in order to stay in communication with God. Thus, we see, brethren, that as the priests of the New Testament, according to the order of Melchizedek, of which Christ Jesus is our high priest, it is our duty to always burn sweet incense on the altar. It is our duty to pray daily for our governors, for our president, for our mayors. It is our duty to pray daily for our elders and their families, for our deacons and their families, for our preacher, ready for it, and his family. But it is our duty to pray daily for one another and our families. It doesn't stop with the leadership, friends. We shouldn't only be praying for the congregation of Southeast. We should be praying for the Northern Oaks congregation, for the Fort Sam congregation, for the Lavernia congregation. We should be praying for all men, says the Bible. But we as Christians have that duty. We as the priests under Christ have that duty. Because God's eyes and ears are open to the prayers of the righteous saints. Finally, turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. We'll be reading from verse 10 to verse 14. Exodus chapter 25, beginning at verse 10 and stopping at verse 14. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them in its four corners. Two rings shall be on one side and two rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. See, brethren, the ark was not stationary. Remember that before there was a temple, there was a tabernacle. And because the tabernacle could be rebuilt, brought down, and moved, because it was supposed to move as the children of Israel moved, therefore the ark required someone to move it as well. This responsibility was given to the Levitical priesthood. The them that we read there in verse 14 are the priests that God had commanded. You see, David thought that because the times had changed and he had this innovation, he believed that perhaps he could go around it by building a new ox cart as long as the Levite priests were the ones who were driving it. And what ultimately ended up happening was that it cost a priest's life. Brethren, in case you haven't noticed, all of these shadows we've been doing at night have been leading to tonight's lesson. Everything that we have tied in from past and previous lessons, we are now seeing them as they pertain to us as priests. Because remember that we were able to learn that the Ark of the Covenant represents Christ. And the Ark of the Covenant was showing God's power, God's judgment, but also God's mercy and grace. Today, brethren, we and only us who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb can carry the Ark of the Covenant. It is our responsibility, brethren, to carry Christ with us wherever we go. Because when the priests carried it in the book of Joshua chapter 3, they were able to see its great power. If you recall, the power of God, the ark was seen in the fact that the Jordan River was split in two and it was detained. And while the priests stood in the center of the river, the children of Israel were able to cross over to conquer the promised land. Brethren, today we hold God's power through his gospel. Today we are the ones who carry Christ with us by obedience as his priest. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is how you and I have the responsibility. This is how you and I have the great honor, the duty as the priests of the New Testament to carry the Ark of the Covenant, that is Christ, with us. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12 to verse 17 reads, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing of one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." See, brethren, Paul in this case, verses 12 through 15 first, teaches us the commandments that we should already be living by. Pay attention that the commandment, verse 12, is given to the elect of God, holy and beloved. These commandments can only be fulfilled, and these commandments can only be obeyed in a way which pleases God by his holy elect and his beloved children. It is possible that those who are not of the priesthood can try to imitate the priesthood, but God does not accept it. You see, brethren, one thing that was fascinating that my wife and I were talking about as we were driving here is it's fascinating to think about the fact that in that time, during those days, every single nation, through their idolatrous practices, knew that a priest was necessary. They had some form of priesthood. And there were some forms of priesthood that emulated the one priesthood that God had accepted, that God had established. In fact, recall that Jeroboam, he mimicked the priesthood of the Levites. But he was rejected by God because it was not the one that God had approved. Brethren, there are going to be men who try to imitate us. There are going to be men and women who perhaps sometimes can do it better than we can. But because they are not holy, because they are not elect, and therefore they are not beloved by God, it means nothing. It is our duty to carry Christ. It is our duty to carry this Ark of the Covenant of the New Testament. It is our duty, brethren, to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. This is how we carry the Ark of the Covenant. Because God's word and Christ's commandments is our new covenant with him. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 teaches us that we must be ready to give an answer to the hope that is seen in us. If we are always carrying our cross daily as Jesus commanded, then there will be those who will ask, why do you carry that cross every day? And then we can give the answer. Because it is the power of God that saves. And it is through the cross of Christ that I now am a child of God. It was through the blood of the Lamb that I was made both priest and king. As the priests of the New Testament, we have the duty, we have the honor, we have the great privilege to carry Jesus Christ with us wherever we go. Jesus, the wisdom of God. Jesus, the power of our salvation. Jesus, the provider of the holy law that pleases our God, the Father. When the world sees us, they should be able to see Christ in us. And therefore, when there are those who want to cross the Jordan, when there are those who want to conquer the promised land, we are called by God to stand in the middle of that Jordan so that through his power in us, we can open those waters that gives them entrance into that promised land. You see, brethren, this could only be accomplished, and according to God's word, by the priests, the kingdom of priests that he had prophetically promised Israel would become. But today we are the spiritual Israel. Today we are the spiritual Jerusalem. We are the church of the firstborn. And because of this, brethren, those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ have been made priests and kings. But because of the fact that we have been made priests, we must then understand we have a duty to fulfill in the kingdom of God. We have a duty to fulfill in his temple. And as the priests of the Old Testament served in God's temple daily, so must we serve in God's temple daily. Perhaps you have been negligent in your services as a priest of the New Testament. Perhaps you have not been fulfilling what God has assigned you to do, and you want to ask for the forgiveness of God, or you want to be helped to understand what duties you must be enacting in order to be obedient to God's commandment. We are ready to pray on your behalf. Or to use the figure that we are studying, we are ready to offer spiritual sacrifices on your behalf. We are willing to intercede to God on your behalf because it is our great honor to do so in accordance to God's will. Perhaps, friend, you are not a priest of the New Testament. Perhaps you have yet to enter into the Most Holy, and you can't even access the Holy because you have yet to wash yourself outside of the temple. We can help you tonight. We can help you remove the old dirty clothing, wash you in the waters of in the blood of the Lamb, so that you can rise clean and a new man in accordance to his commandment. But you have to be willing to put to death the old man. In other words, you have to be willing to sacrifice your old life. Tonight, as the priests of the kingdom of heaven, we can help you put to death that old man through the waters of baptism if you are ready to give your life over to God through Christ Jesus. If anyone here tonight is ready to accept either one of these invitations, won't you come forward as we stand and we sing?